What is going on, listeners out there? Sound of my voice. James Coe here, NFL Fantasy Life podcast on this beautiful Monday afternoon. All right, hey, listen, we got Michael Fabiano here, Marcus Grant, MG, and the return of the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. Hey, welcome back, pal.
Good to be here, guys. It felt weird listening to the podcast while I was mowing my parents' lawn in Wisconsin instead of being here.
All right, we got a big show in front of us here, man. We're going to talk about headlines, of course. We're going to get to some Twitter questions for the first time on the podcast this year, which is going to be great. We're going to be talking about some offenses that could surprise Dolphins, Vikings, Bengals, Cardinals fans. You're going to want to stick around for that. And then we're going to play a little game of The Draft Price is Right. A game that you do not want to miss. Of course, go to the website, NFL.com/fantasy. NFL.com/fantasy to sign up today. And, of course, you could do mock drafts right now. It's never too early to do a good mock draft, right, MJ?
Never.
Michael Fabiano, you had a very interesting weekend this weekend.
Two weekends ago, yes. I was back home in Connecticut for my sister's 40th birthday.
All right.
Happy birthday, Denise. You're an old lady now. And I'm an old man.
All right.
So went to the Yankees game, of course, my beloved Yankees on Sunday, Father's Day. My buddy David Martinez from SAP got us just unbelievable seats. We're four rows behind home plate, just to the left.
Cool.
Hanging out there, watching the game. All of a sudden, who steps down one section over but Kate Upton?
Hello.
That's his dream come true.
And two of her friends, both men.
Were they playing the Tigers?
Yes.
Okay.
They were playing the Tigers, so she was there to support her boyfriend, Justin Verlander. And, of course, my buddies are all going nuts. Oh, my God, Kate Upton's there. Oh, my God, Kate Upton's there. So she gets up quickly after, goes back, and doesn't come back. So we're thinking, oh, well, that was our Kate Upton sighting for the game.
Right.
Eighth inning comes around. We move one section over, so we're right behind home plate, second row.
Okay.
Watching, and all of a sudden she comes back and sits right behind us. And
hello.
My guys are like, dude, she's right behind us. Kate Upton's right behind us. And you're trying to look and not look.
I'm just laughing at this. You know what I mean? Guys ever.
Like, I imagine this stage whisper of,
right.
She's right behind us.
Oh, it was like that, Marcus. It was like that. So I told my buddy Dave, I'm like, dude, I'm talking to her. Like, I don't care. It's Kate Upton. I have to talk to her, right? I'm never going to get this opportunity.
And plus, you got to have a story for the NFL Fantasy Live podcast.
Right, I mean, exactly.
How could you?
So I'm texting with Adam Wainwright, who's a good buddy of mine. He knows Justin, so I'm thinking, this is my in. If Adam met Kate, I can, boom, I'm in.
Okay.
So Adam texted me back and said, no, I don't know her, but I'm a fan of her work.
Like, yeah, well.
So I was like, you know, I'm still going to use your name. So I turned around and I said, Kate, do you play fantasy football? Of course, the question that comes out of my mouth,
okay,
right?
Worst first. Pickup line
yeah.
ever.
I'm
by
not
the
picking
way.
Her up. I mean, I'm not trying
girlfriend.
To pick her up.
He's
and it's Kate Upton. I mean, I got no shot. So she says no. She looks at me like I'm a little bit strange. Okay, that's a weird question to be asked. Then I get into how I know Adam and that Adam knows Justin. And do you know Adam? And she doesn't know him. I ask her if she is a football fan. She says she is. She's a Jets fan because her sister worked for the Jets. Now, as luck might have it, back before MetLife opened, me and one of my best friends, Bill, got a tour of MetLife, and guess who was the person who showed us around? None other than her sister.
What?
Christy Upton.
That's crazy.
So
layers
I brought
story.
Out
all right.
Christy, and the conversation just bloomed. We talked for like 10 or 15 minutes. It was a lot of fun. She's a really sweet girl. And believe it or not, I actually got her into our fantasy football celebrity league.
Wow.
She has never played fantasy football before. Now
so
she will be
win.
Playing. And she sent me an email
win.
And said right. that she is excited to win the league. So she's already talking trash. And I also got The Miz from WWE is joining, who, by the way, has 2 million followers on Twitter.
Good stuff.
2 million. So the league is coming together this year, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like
so here. And Kate also agreed to come on our show at some point during the season.
You know what this reminds me of?
How about
always
that?
Be closing.
Coffee is for closers.
Coffee is for closers. Always be closing. You know what third place gets? A set of knives. That's
really?
That was
not
very
of my leagues.
Up. That was very cleaned up.
Yeah, yeah, we need it's the family podcast.
I haven't seen that movie.
So Kate Upton's in the Celebrity League now, and hopefully you'll be seeing her on NFL Fantasy Live this year.
For those who are unaware, that was from Glengarry Glen Ross.
Old school movie.
Can check it out on the Netflix
fabulous,
or something.
Fabulous
fantastic
film. Old school films, do you realize this, that they don't change settings in old school films?
Not a lot.
Nope.
Glengarry Glen Ross has like three sets, and that's it.
Yep.
And then they're done.
Well, that's also how you get
a cast. But still a great movie.
That's how you get a cast like that.
That's
is you
point.
Spend all the money on them and not the set, and
right,
let them
point
do the work.
All right, let's do top headlines, shall we?
Let's do it.
Percy Harvin says he would love to be more than just a slot and gadget guy, telling the Bills team website, quote, "I've been dying to just sit down with that one coach who will tell me what I'm doing wrong and what I need to do." How much do we buy what Percy Harvin is selling, Marcus?
You know what? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
You know what I would love? To be a millionaire.
Okay.
To be a billionaire.
To be a billionaire.
Doesn't mean I'm going to be a billionaire or a millionaire.
All right.
Go ahead, Marcus.
I'm not buying. basically, he kind of nailed it. I'm not buying. I mean, we've seen this. I feel like we've heard this story from Percy Harvin a couple times in the last few seasons. You know, I don't want to be a gadget guy. I can do so much more. I can be an outside receiver.
And it
hasn't happened yet. So now he's going to a team with a top-notch running back in LeSean McCoy.
Yep.
Couple of good young wideouts with Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods there. Mm-hmm. And a team that is talking, in all seriousness, about naming Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback.
Oh.
I mean, come on.
You know what this is Percy Harvin in this refrain has become our, like, Ross and Rachel, our Sam and Diane, our J.D. and Elliot of the fantasy season.
Sam and Diane.
Got to get in the Cheers reference. And people are going to continue to believe it, but you can't. This is not going to happen. I wrote for our thing on the site this morning. How many times has Percy Harvin ever had 1,000 receiving yards in a season?
That would be zero.
Zero.
He had one big year in Minnesota, and everyone loved him because he was so versatile. And
right.
It was
one big year, though.
That was the lockout year, too, where everybody had huge numbers. Like, everybody went bananas that year.
And if you think about it, too, and I wrote a column about teams losing targets, think about the targets that the Bills have now. They added Percy Harvin and Charles Clay and didn't really lose anybody.
And Shady.
Right.
And Shady's going to catch passes out of the backfield, so not enough to go around, especially with that lousy quarterback situation.
By the way, it's the same coaching staff that he had last year for 8 games.
You know, and
I mean, it's not like it's a new look. It's the exact same
look. How do you do
with
the Jets?
29 catches, 350 yards, one touchdown, 8 games with the same coaching staff.
And he had a better quarterback in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Did he?
Geno. Much better.
Geno versus E.J. Manuel or
Tyrod Taylor or Matt.
When we're saying Geno Smith.
Maybe Matt Castle. Maybe Matt Castle.
When we're saying Geno Smith
reportedly, Matt Castle
is an upgrade at quarterback.
Has
we got problems.
Horrible in the offseason.
Yeah.
Who has?
Matt Castle.
Really? Wow, what a surprise.
So I think
shocking.
We can bury this
breaking news. Matt Castle does not look good in camp.
Hold on, I got to race down and write that story now. People need to know.
All right, second headline. Basically, we're not buying it. Look, let's just put a bow on this thing. Percy Harvin, draftable, not draftable?
Not for me.
Draftable, but like, not until one of the last three or four rounds.
Wide receiver five, maybe?
Not counting on
that. That's a not draftable. All right, Darren McFadden says he feels, quote, like a rookie all over again. That's what he told the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. By the way, that sounds like a paper from The Onion.
Yes, it does.
Area man's excited about football season.
Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Can't they shorten that to like an acronym or something?
The NADG. The NADG.
The NADGA.
The NADGA. Solid. He's had three consecutive seasons of less than 3.5 yards per carry, but that was with the lowly Raiders. He's got a new city, and more importantly, he's got a new offensive line. What are we expecting from Darren McFadden?
Well, not much, because to me, I'm all about Joe Randle. As long as he keeps his head on straight, that's the guy. I've got some contacts there in Dallas, and the Cowboys coaching staff really thinks he can come in and take off. McFadden is what he is. I mean, he's had one good year. He can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
His hamstring feels great now, but guess what happens once you get closer to the season? Injuries mount. Randle is shooting up draft boards. He barely missed my top five rounds in the mock draft that
okay.
I did.
So he's just week. Outside your top 50.
Right now he's right around 66th round. But if he starts looking unreal in training camp and preseason, you watch his stock shoot
Through the moon. Right. Yes. I would agree with that.
Yes.
I would agree with that. But is anyone here taking the Run DMC versus Joe Randall? Anyone taking Darren McFadden in that battle?
Can I just point something out?
Sure.
Quick? Is Fabs upping his fantasy journalism game? He's got contacts down in Dallas.
Sources.
Now let's
sources.
Let's get investigated here. Is that contact Elliot Harrison?
No, it is not. It is actually someone who's very close to the Cowboys.
That's right. I was just getting on.
But
Babe Harrison's.
Exactly, that's right.
Babe,
you know, I remember Babe Laufenberg blew a game up for us against Atlanta. Cowboys would have made the playoffs. Aikman was hurt. Forget it.
All right, listen.
I'm going to go off on a tangent here.
Anyone taking Darren McFadden in this battle?
Not over Joseph Randall. No.
I might too,
man.
Jumping off the cliff. I need to go. I'm going to probably this week dive back into the film and the stats and really do a deep dive on both these guys and see what we can discern. Unfortunately, all that is probably going to be for naught because it could all change once the pads come on in about a month. But I might be down to get Run DMC on there, a little reclamation project behind a great offensive line with quarterback and targets.
I should clarify. Like, I'm not totally down on Darren McFadden.
Sure.
I mean, I do think being in Dallas is a good situation for him, certainly better than if he had stayed in Oakland.
At worst, he's a top-flight handcuff.
Yeah.
At worst.
And that's kind of how I view him. I mean, I think he'll begin the year as the starter. I just think somewhere middle of the season, Randall's going to take over
Darren
and start.
Really?
Yeah, I think McFadden will come out of camp as the starter, but I think somewhere before the season's out, you'll see Randall take over, and I think he may end up leading that team in carries when it's all said.
You know what's funny? I think I just want to transpose those two names. I really feel like Joe Randall is going to start the season as the starter with Run DMC kind of carrying the mail later in the season, because I look at the size and skill set of Joe Randall. I like him. Maybe I don't like his size and skill set, but it's hard not to like that offensive line. Hard not to like that offense. In that situation, you love Joe Randall. But maybe he starts to wear down, break down a little bit in the second half of the season. And maybe Darren McFadden then becomes, again, an unbelievable handcuff. But
wait, time out. We're saying that McFadden's going to take over because someone else is going to
break
down?
You like that?
Hang on.
That's backwards.
Hang on.
Well, he's going to be sitting on the side saddle for a while, man. Unless they just go with the full-out committee approach, which, I don't know, Alex. I could see that happening.
I could see it being a committee. Hold on. I'm crunching some numbers
here.
All
right, hit me.
With Joseph Randall. I need to do a little bit more math, so Marcus or Fabs, fill in for me.
I typically go upside over experience, especially when that experience is as injury prone as Darren McFadden.
Sure.
And he's a good dude. I mean, I've interviewed McFadden. I like him as a person. I just can't trust him. And Randall has the type of upside where he could end up being a top 10 fantasy running back. I wrote a column today about 20 shocking scenarios that wouldn't shock me.
Okay.
Because every year we see things that we never in a million years predicted.
You know what this all means, of course.
OBJ scores more fantasy points than Calvin Johnson. Go ahead, Mark.
All this means is that it's going to be a committee.
Right.
Right? We're sitting here trying to, like, you know, parse who's going to take over as the starter here. And then what it means is that they're both going to end up getting about 150 carries, and then we're all going to be screwed. That's what's going to happen.
Most likely.
Don't want to invest heavily. That's really what it comes
down
to.
I'll take a flyer on him. Here's I saw this on Twitter somewhere, so I apologize who I took this from, but I wanted to do it up, and I just had to crunch the numbers myself.
Okay.
But Joseph Randall, in his short two-year career, has only had four games where he's had more than 10 carries.
Okay.
In those games,
he
only averaged 2.54 yards per carry.
Not great.
He was getting a bigger workload.
Not great.
Not running on a third down against, you know, spaced out defenses and things like that. So we're really going to need to see in preseason if he can carry more of the workload against a stacked front like DeMarco did and get that extra meat that apparently was left on the bone.
All right. Anyways, look, he's 6 feet tall. He's 210 pounds. Again, not necessarily the physical characteristics of that every down guy. I mean, you look at this guy, again, third season back, and as you mentioned, Alex, not necessarily hugely productive. I mean, at least when we saw Toby Gerhart leave Minnesota, he was averaging like 7 yards per carry as a backup to Adrian Peterson. So there was at least intrigue there.
Joe Randall's career is 6.7 yards per carry, but again, that's coming on a lot of those third down scrap, like third and 20, here's a draw play, run for 18 yards.
It's an unbelievable line. It's a great offense. I can see why Fabs would put him just outside of the top 50. I can see that. I just, man, I look at the physical characteristics and I've seen what he's done in his career. I just, it's hard for me to buy that. But again, opportunity makes kings out of us all, man. So it's interesting.
Put that on a T-shirt somewhere.
Yeah. All right, listen, we move on. What's the next head? I think I deleted this next headline.
Victor Cruz
says rehab will make or break him. That's what he told the USA Today. I don't even have that headline in front of me, but you know what? I memorized it.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah,
wow.
I like
it's
it.
A consummate professional.
Look, Victor Cruz telling the USA Today that rehab is going to make him or break him. What do we make of those statements? And again, I know we've touched on this on a previous podcast, but where do you take a guy like Victor Cruz?
I'm looking at him very, very late. I mean, he's that guy, you draft him late, and you hope maybe you get some upside out of him. Or, if he doesn't come around, you haven't spent a lot, you haven't lost much. But if he does, if he comes back and he looks even a little bit like the old Victor Cruz, then you've got something, and you've got it at a great value. I mean, that I think, is all you can expect when even the Giants don't seem particularly optimistic about
right.
him coming back.
I mean, it's been less than a year. I mean, he tore his plateau tendon, what, in October?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're talking about less than a year of recovery
time.
This
is a bad injury, though.
That's tough, man.
It's a bad injury.
We're talking about a guy who also made his living, Fabs, with speed. Mm-hmm. And that speed is going to be slow to come back. Where do you have a guy like Victor Cruz? Let's just say in standard formats, because I know in PPR he'll be he'll have a slight uptick in value.
Well, he's just outside of my top 40 wide receivers, so let's put it that way. As Marcus said, late rounds. He's a flyer that a lot of people will see his name still on the board
That's right.
late and think, ooh, Victor Cruz.
Right.
And then they'll pick him up. But a lot of questions there. Remember, OBJ is now the clear-cut number one.
Right.
Eli Manning has been talking up Reuben Randall. There's questions as to whether or not Cruz is going to leave some of that speed on the operating table, which I would kind of think that he will. And they also added a pass-catching running back in Shane Vereen. So Cruz is someone that I would take a flyer on.
Speaking of current ADP on NFL.com, 125
right.
in the 13th.
So, I mean, he's not going anywhere where you're taking a huge leap of faith. It's not a big investment.
13th
take
round
a flyer
he's
on
a
him?
Flyer.
Sure.
He's a flyer.
Yep.
Right, he's a flyer.
No doubt about that. And
I
he's got to prove that he can be what he was before anyone's going to trust him after that procedure.
By the way, I would almost rather take an unproven rookie. Than
Devontae Parker, someone like that.
I mean, I think Parker will be gone by the 13th round, but you know, even if I'm looking at like a Tyler Lockett in Seattle or something, you know, give me a guy like that. Where I don't know what Tyler Lockett's ADP is, but I gotta imagine it's in the double digits. I would much rather have a guy with upside versus a Victor Cruz. Because, again, maybe Victor Cruz comes around week 6, week 7, week 10 maybe. But, man, I tell you what, he needs some time to recover. Not saying that he can't do it. I think he's a great professional. He's got the skill set. And most importantly, he's got good chemistry with Eli. He's got a good quarterback back there. I just think he needs time to recover and get that speed back and get back into the
some of those upside guys you're talking about that you could get after Cruz based
yeah.
on ADPs right now. Kenny Stills, Allen Robinson,
oh, yeah.
Devontae Adams.
Allen Robinson's
guys.
After?
I would take all those
That's
guys
insane.
Before. I'd take all of them ahead of
Wait,
That's
Cruz.
Insane.
Wait, Philip Dorsett,
yep.
Devin Funchess.
Done.
Cole Beasley.
Done. Well, okay.
Amendola. Reuben Randall, and then Tyler Lockett. So,
okay.
Rather than reach for the name, reach for some
other. Allen Robinson.
I will pass on Cole
That's
Beasley.
Insane.
But all those other names I like more.
You know
than
how?
Victor
it's Cruz. Still June.
Yeah. I
that's
guess
that'll change.
That's, yeah. Well, no. And again, we do got to see these guys a little bit in the preseason game.
And this
we'll
is a small sample size. It's
sure.
only from the drafts that have been happening on NFL.com.
Right.
Yet the more we get in, the more accurate data we'll get, and the better we can all learn from
And them. How do we do that?
By doing mock drafts.
NFL.com/fantasy. Sign up today. And, of course, NFL.com/draft kit if you want to see all of the cool info we got out there. Pre-draft, and it's all good stuff, man. Just NFL.com/draft kit or NFL.com/fantasy to play right now. All right, so again, for the very first time on this revamped podcast, we're going to hit your Twitter questions. And if you'd like to make the show, of course, tweet at any of us, Marcus, Alex Gelhar, myself, or Michael Fabiano, or you could tweet the NFL Fantasy handle, at NFL Fantasy. All right, so first question comes from Dwayne Jackson, at DJax55. Is Dez Bryant a risky pick because of his contract situation? And we'll go to the Cowboys homer on this one.
Don't know yet. Don't know yet. They're going to be in discussions. They have until July 15th.
But is he a risky
sort of? No, not right now. If he holds out a training camp, then
he holds out
through
week one. Yeah.
Then things change because there is a well-known trend of players: Darrell Revis, Steven Jackson, Larry Johnson. To go back and discuss a few, Chris Johnson, who
MJD
hold out of camp and
injuries
or a decline in production.
Right.
So that would worry me a little bit, but let's be honest. How far are we going to drop Dez Bryant down at wide receiver?
Mid-second.
It's not going to be out of the top 10, that's for sure.
Yeah. Is he going to be – could he drop down to the mid-second round if he misses the entire training camp and he says he's sitting out week one?
I would say he could probably drop into the second or third round.
Early third.
Something like that, but he's not going to drop much further than that.
Yeah, if I'm sitting around
too much upside.
If I'm sitting around there late second round and
no
Dez Bryant's still there –
Hello,
Bryant. I know all the fears. I understand all that.
If
he sits out, I totally get that. But also at the same time, when he comes back,
13 touchdowns.
He's still going to be the guy Tony Romo looks for first.
Sometimes expectations are going to supersede risk. It's almost like, okay, this really good-looking blonde girl wants to go on a date with me, but this woman has the IQ of a grapefruit. Guess what? I don't care. I'm going out with her. You know what I mean?
No.
Yes.
That analogy went by.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
What are you talking?
All right.
The girl is good. Listen, here. I know you're a married guy. I know you're married. The woman is good looking, okay? That's the upside. But the downside is that you're not going to have a conversation with her, but you're still going to go out with her, okay? Dez Bryant has got amazing talent and production.
Uh-huh.
Okay, he's going to hold out a training camp potentially. And that means, I'm a little afraid he could get hurt. I'm still drafting
the podcast spinning out of control.
All I'm seeing on the other side of the table right now.
Michael Fabiano.
Fab's just digging that
what
grave
is happening?
There's no grave to be
next
dug.
Next Twitter question.
That was a great comparison.
Jake Bender asked us on Twitter, if I have a choice between Matt Ryan and Drew Brees,
what?
Who should I pick? Matt Ryan, Drew Brees.
Go ahead.
Well, here we go. I mean, Drew Brees.
I don't like Brees this year. I think he's going to be a bust because everyone's going to draft him too high.
Okay.
But even if he's a bust, he's going to be better than Matt Ryan.
He was better than Matt Ryan last year, but it was
he's
the number
than
six.
Matt Ryan every year.
Yes, he was the number six quarterback versus the number seven quarterback in Matt Ryan. So the comparison, at least last year, was pretty darn similar. Is anyone taken up for Matt Ryan in this battle of the quarterbacks?
Not me.
Yeah, it's tough.
I think Brees will have diminished numbers this year, but I still like him better than I like Matt Ryan. I think he's got more weapons. I don't know.
Yeah. Is anyone intrigued by the new offense that they might install in Atlanta? You know, they added a couple of offensive weapons as well. There's at least intrigue there. And plus, can I say this? So they add a couple of pieces in Atlanta. They add a new offensive system that could help them. And in addition to that, New Orleans loses Jimmy Graham.
Still got Sean Payton, one of the most creative offensive minds in the league. Now you add C.J. Spiller. You could have the arrival of Nick Toon, Brandon Cooks on Fab's man crush list. And Drew Brees is still Drew Brees. The guy was still slinging the rock great last year.
Sure. But he is getting up there in age.
He's getting up there. He's not as high up there as like Manning and Brady.
Right, exactly.
Right.
You take Drew.
I see what you guys are saying. I know in my heart of hearts I'm saying Drew Brees. But I tell you what, I think the question is a heck of a lot closer than we might think of it right this second. I think when the season starts to play out, there's been a lot of turmoil, a lot of change in New Orleans. And in Atlanta, I like the fact that they're revamping that offense a little bit. They add a guy like Tevin Coleman who could be a home run hitter. I think this is going to be a quarterback battle, in my opinion, that will be a lot closer than a lot of
folks
might
think. They were only 22 points apart last year.
That's what I'm saying. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. So
22 points is still almost a couple a week.
Oh, sure. So, but it wasn't like we're talking about, oh, my God, it's
Aaron Rodgers versus Matt Ryan. Yeah.
But also, at this point, I think we know who Matt Ryan is. His highest passing yardage total is 4,700 yards. That's like a bad year for Drew Brees.
We've seen his ceiling.
That being said, though, you know, the previous coaching staff.
Are you going to draft Matt Ryan ahead of Brees?
I am not.
Okay, then what's your argument?
I'm just saying, look, I think Drew Brees will be extremely overdrafted.
I do too.
The point that I'm making here is that I think he's going to be extremely overdrafted. I think Matt Ryan is going to be, I don't know if he's going to be underdrafted, but I think he will provide you more value come drafting.
Relative value will side with Ryan.
This could be a good segue into our next segment because look who's the top of the draft price is right.
Drew Brees. Ba-ba-ba-dum.
Wait, we got it queued up.
There he is.
Oh, I love it.
I used to pretend that I was sick when I was a kid just
to watch it. Absolutely.
And watch.
All right, look. Yeah. Should we just get into it?
You got a long, skinny microphone, right? Now.
Yes.
Let's just get into it, man. Let's do Draft Price is Right. We'll get to offenses that could surprise in a bit. But let's do Draft Price is Right. Right now, Drew Brees is being taken in round 5. He's about the 45th overall pick. He was the 6th best quarterback last year. Does he crack into the top 5, which consisted of Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Peyton Manning, or Big Ben? Does Drew Brees pass one of those guys and crack into the top 5? Basically, what I'm asking you, is the draft price right or wrong?
I think he's a top 5 quarterback, but I'm not taking him in round 5. That just seems a little high for me. I'm not one of the wait on a quarterback guys. Like, I'll take Aaron Rodgers in the first round. I'll take Andrew Luck in the second. But I think after those two guys are gone, then I probably am going to sit around and wait on somebody. So for me, round 5 seems a little steep.
Alex?
Wow. Everyone is
like silent.
Dead
huh?
silent. I am on record as saying that I would not draft Brees in one of the first 5 rounds unless I had the last pick and I go Brees and then I'm picking first in round 6.
Okay.
And it's not because Drew Brees isn't great. It's not because Drew Brees isn't one of the best quarterbacks in the history of fantasy football.
Right.
It goes against my philosophy of waiting on a quarterback until later than the 5th round. And to be quite honest with you, I just don't see him being the 5,000-yard passer, 40-touchdown passer. That offense now is going to be more balanced.
Agreed.
Look at what they did in the offseason. You have to sort of read the tea leaves there. They get Unger from Seattle. They draft Pete. They re-sign Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
They trade Jimmy Graham. They trade Kenny Stills. They don't bring anyone in to really replace those guys unless you consider C.J. Spiller a replacement, but he's a running back.
No, he's not.
So, to me, Brees could totally do what he did last year, maybe a little bit worse. But I would argue that Brees gave a lot of people headaches last season, especially
Absolutely.
When he was on the road, where people were like, I don't know if I should start this guy.
It's interesting, too, when you talk about them bringing in Max Unger, Andres Pete, revamping that offensive line, committing big dollars to the running back position. Is this New Orleans we're talking about here?
Right?
The entire league is going to a more pass-oriented offense, and the most pass-oriented offense in the league is going more towards a ground and pass. I'm just confused. I don't know what's going on.
The thing is that we look at everything from a fantasy perspective, at least most of the time.
Right.
The Saints aren't winning. I mean, they're not winning, so I think it shocked us all when they traded
creative.
Jimmy Graham, but someone at the top said, we're blowing it up. Got to do it different.
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure if they've got a clear game plan in New Orleans. I think they need to revamp their defense, but looks like they are trying to control the clock a little bit more.
Which is probably a nod to the fact that their defense hasn't been good. If we
sure.
can control the clock, if we can play a 4-minute offense, then we don't have to worry about our defense letting us down. I mean, because as much as it was fun, we all remember the shot of Rob Ryan and his
yeah.
long hair looking just pained at a
Patriots game.
lead late.
One of my favorite pictures ever.
It's a very good point. All right.
So I think we're in agreement. Price is wrong.
Price is wrong, Breeze. All right. Joyc Bell, you're the next name on the Draft Price is Right. Come on down. Round five for Joyc Bell. He's taken about five picks after Drew Brees at 49. He was the 14th best running back last year, I think surprising some. Reggie Bush gone. Does he get the keys all by his lonesome? Or how much does Ameer Abdullah cap his value?
I actually just updated my running back rankings and all my rankings, and I moved Abdullah ahead of him.
Ahead of Joyc Bell.
Wow. Yep.
Round 5 is
bold move.
Way too rich for my blood, and I would not take him there. I would take Abdullah maybe in round 6 right now. More upside. What Bell's coming off the Achilles, the knee.
He's
29 years old.
We're worried about his conditioning.
I don't believe in him. I believe in the rookie.
What have you seen in Ameer Abdullah that makes you put him in such lofty company?
Well, I wish I could attend all of these off-season workouts. I can't. All I can really do is read about what has gone on. And he's been the star of the Lions camp.
Got it.
ESPN's John Clayton had a report yesterday about how unbelievable he looked. And he's not a big dude.
No,
he's not a big
guy.
Dude at all. but he's versatile, and he believes he can be a three-down back. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition.
Well, that's what he was at Nebraska.
Yeah. I will tell you this. He is one of the guys I'm targeting. You guys know I put out my list a couple of weeks ago.
No doubt.
The Summer Lovin list. He is one of the guys that I'm targeting.
I mean, you beat me to it. I didn't have rankings updated yet or not, but I was going to say I'd probably take Amir Abdullah over Drake Bell, too, right now.
Yep.
You got to love his upside. You love what he did back there. Everybody's – the rave reviews, I mean, it could all be a smokescreen right now. But
sure.
Based on what I watched him do in college and what we're hearing he's doing so far, and I love Drake Bell. Don't get me wrong. He's been great. But coming off all these injuries and being older and probably out of shape, this just seems like the situation that Abdullah's going to come in, produce, and run away with.
With how things happen in the NFL, I mean, listen, we do our best to predict things, okay? But we predict things on stats, trends, and that sort of thing. Man, a lot of times it's hard. I mean, you saw Monte Ball was all the rage last year, and C.J. Anderson ended up scoring more fantasy points than LeSean McCoy, and
right.
Golden Tate more than Calvin Johnson,
right.
And
it's crazy
Antonio
stuff.
Gates more than Jimmy Graham. Sometimes you have to really think outside the box.
I still believe. Am I the only one here?
No, you're not the
only
one.
Okay, I still believe in Drake Bell. Like, in round five, I'd be glad to have him. And part of it is, you know, I get it. I get the injuries. But the Lions saw this morning. No team threw to the running backs more than the Lions did last year. I think something like 28% of their passes went to running backs last year. That means there's a lot of targets still to go around in that offense. And I still think Drake Bell is going to be a big part of it. I think they're going to work him in slowly. And I'm sure Amir Abdullah has looked fantastic. But I think when we get closer to the season, you still got to worry about things like, you know, how does he handle pass protection?
Yeah.
How does he handle, you know, coming out of the backfield in certain situations? I think Drake Bell still has that. I think he's still going to be a big part of what they do. I'm not down on him just yet. I still like him.
I think round five is still a bit too rich for my blood for Drake Bell. I'd love to get him in round seven. I mean, if he's the 49th pick, you know, we're talking pretty
end
late.
End of round five.
Yeah, end of round five, so early round six.
You know,
could get him around later, end of round six or maybe early rounds, I'd be much more comfortable. I think round five, a little too rich for me.
You know what other running back is rolling on up? Duke Johnson. Watch out for Duke Johnson. I'm telling you, they produce those running backs.
All right, how about this? Amari Cooper, you're the next name on the draft prices, right? Come on now. Round seven for Amari Cooper, the sensational expected to be sensational rookie wide receiver there in Oakland. He's being targeted with the 67th overall pick. Julian Edelman, Steve Smith, Eric Decker, Keenan Allen in his peer group there. Kevin White, Brandon Marshall being drafted ahead of Amari Cooper, which I think surprises me. Round seven for Amari Cooper. Draft price right or wrong, Fabs?
If I could get him in round seven, dude, you would see me like one of those people that gets called to the Price is Right.
Right.
They run down. They're like, you, baby. Yeah. That's what I'm saying right there. Cooper was a fifth round pick in my most recent mock draft.
Okay.
And listen, man, again, what I've read, what I've heard, everyone's raving about him. I know he plays for the Raiders, but this is an offense now that's led by Derek Carr.
Yeah.
We're not looking at Jay Schrader back there. That's an old school.
Wow.
Offense.
I remember being excited when the Raiders got Jay Schrader. turn a corner.
A lot of people probably have no idea who he is. Look him up. But I'm on board with Cooper. I like him as a guy who you can maybe draft as a low two, high three in a 10-team league that could produce like a high two.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the price is great there.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. Although I've said before, I like in a short term and just for this year, I think I like Kevin White a little bit better because there are fewer expectations on him to be the guy to produce. I think
you're not scared of Alshon Jeffrey though. I mean,
I've said before. I think Kevin White is this year's Mike Evans, where he comes into a situation where he's not expected to be the number one guy, and
right.
I look at Amari Cooper more as a Kelvin Benjamin type, where they want him to really carry that passing game. So. I do think that Amari Cooper at round seven, I do love it. I do love it. I just say I like Kevin White a little better.
I'll tell you this. If you look at his peer group in terms of ADP, Julian Edelman, Steve Smith, Eric Decker, Keenan Allen, yeah. Give me Amari Cooper ahead of every single one of those guys. I might even take him ahead of Kevin. Actually, I would take him ahead of Kevin White, no question. And I'd even go so far as I'd take him ahead of Brandon Marshall, man. Oh, yeah, really would.
I would too.
Brandon Marshall got 1 foot in the grave right now, in the career grave.
Whoa, let's not bury.
Whoa. Wow.
What did Brandon Marshall do to you?
Nothing, man. I just don't see a heck of a lot of upside there. I think Brandon Marshall's got one eye on his post career, and that scares me, because in today's NFL, man, you got to have laser focus.
You also got to look too.
Laser focus.
Brandon Marshall loves tearing it up when he gets the new team.
How many Jets wide receivers have been great fantasy options?
None.
And you could,
like, ever, or
you
recently?
Can go through. Okay.
Whatever.
Wait, let's look at the list.
I'm sorry.
Antonio Holmes goes to the
Wesley
Jets.
Walker's
stinks. Eric Decker goes to the Jets. Stinks.
Braylon
Edwards go to the Jets.
Great.
Stinks. The guy was not good from a fantasy perspective based on what
he
did.
Time.
Who?
Eric Decker did.
I don't care. He didn't produce.
1978, Wesley Walker had 1,169 yards and 8 touchdowns.
All right.
There you go.
So the price is right on Amari Cooper.
Yes.
Bam.
I didn't even mention Percy Harvin either. He goes there and didn't do much either.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about Rashad Jennings, round 8, 71st overall pick in some mock drafts here. Injuries. That's what you always got to think about with Rashad Jennings. He missed 5 games last year. He still was able to produce, though, about close to 900 total yards, 639 yards rushing, 226 receiving. He also put up 4 touchdowns in those games that he played, 11 games, and really more like 9 games, because he was kind of dinged up in 2 of them. Andre Williams lurking there. Rashad Jennings, round 8. Good value, bad value, price right or wrong? I see you shaking your head out.
I don't like it. There's just, I think it's going to be a nasty committee with all those guys, and I feel that once that offense starts humming, Shane Vereen, I think Fabs pointed it out in a column recently, is going to get a lot of that passing work, and he's going to get a lot of third
down.
Oh,
I thought
work.
You were referencing Orleans Darkwa.
Oh, no. Not bringing up
that's one heck
Darkwa.
Of a pull.
Oh, no?
Not today.
Oh, my bad.
We'll have an Orleans Darkwa designated podcast later.
That's
but,
my bad.
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot better value you can get in that range. Like, this is a round after we were seeing Amari Cooper and Kevin
right,
being drafted.
Exactly.
Duke Johnson could be in this range. I'd rather take him than Rashad Jennings. There's too many question marks or too many worries for me to get Rashad Jennings before like round 10.
I kind of feel like Rashad Jennings' floor is not that bad, though. I mean, if you're getting him in round 8 as a running back, as an RB3 or as a you know, rotational flex guy, I feel like his floor is not that. But when he's in there, he produces.
And yeah, problem is,
how often is he going to be in there?
Well,
if he stays healthy,
he's a rotational guy.
He'll be a good flex starter for fantasy owners. Look at his numbers last year, but Alex just alluded to it. There's a lot of mouths to feed. You've got Vereen. You've got Andre Williams.
Sure.
And Jennings also in the mix to go along with the return of Victor Cruz.
Yep.
That doesn't affect the backfield. It affects the offense. So I think he's probably in that range, 8 to 10. But the way that I draft, he'd probably be my 4 because I don't bother with a quarterback until later. So if I could get him as my 4th running back, I'll take him. But even then, I'm not in love with him because the injuries concern me, and the number of people who are looking for the football in that backfield also concerns me.
Marcus, round 8?
I don't think I can do it at round 8. For the reasons stated. I do think Shane Vereen is going to have a much larger role in that offense when it's all said and done, because he can run it, because he can catch it. I think that with that offense, that's how it's going to go.
He's going to be another Shane Vereen's going to be another Cal guy. I'm going to target in my all Cal draft.
He is. He's going to be another one to get in your all Cal draft there. So he could be your flex. Your all Cal flex.
That's not bad,
Alex.
I'll take Shane Vereen.
Is this right? The next one?
Yes, it is.
Oh yeah.
Kidding me?
Look. Rashad Jennings' price is wrong.
So yeah.
Dan Bailey.
You got to be kidding me.
No,
speaking
I am
of,
not.
Rashad Jennings, round 8. Dan Bailey, round 9.
What?
I could have put Dan Carpenter, who actually is going 2 spots ahead of Dan Bailey, apparently.
Listen, people, don't draft kickers this early.
You know what it is? No, you know what it is, but think about it. This isn't even a good example, because think about how many starters are in an NFL.com standard league, and once people stop drafting, it goes to that
auto-pick robot.
Which so means that the kickers are going higher than they should be.
Might be true.
We all know.
But it's a good PSA.
We all know the only kicker that you should draft before one of the last 2 rounds is Steve
Gostkowski.
Would you stop?
Seabass.
I put this into my column today, the 20 things that wouldn't shock
crazy
me.
Crazy predictions.
Stephen Gostkowski in the last 4 years, in the last 4 years, each one of those years has outscored every single tight end but one. Okay,
Jimmy Graham, he
had more points than everybody but Jimmy Graham last year. He had more. Gronkowski. The year before it was Jimmy Graham.
Oh, I see.
Stephen Gostkowski is an exceptional fantasy asset.
Yeah,
I'm not saying draft him before the 10th round, but if you can get him in round 12 or round 11, maybe at the end of round 11, I would do it because points are points.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would love to take the ghost in round 12. Love it. I would love it.
But so, kickers before round 10. Price is wrong.
Price is wrong. Yeah, it's wrong.
Yes.
All right, here we go. How about Chris Ivory, round 10? 96th overall, round 10, 821 yards last year. This is what surprised me. Chris Ivory, who I did not think was a very good player last year, 4.1 yards per carry. That's not bad. He played in 16 games, only started 10. So, again, he's approaching 1,000 yards in really 10 games where he started. 4.1 yards per carry. He's got a new coaching staff there. Chris Ivory, round 10, Marcus. Do you like him there?
Yeah, in round 10, sure. He's going to be my fourth running back, maybe. Something, you know, a guy that I play during bye weeks, maybe if the matchup is particularly great. But the thing about Chris Ivory is that there's always somebody lurking in the background ready to take carries. I mean, he's there, and then somebody else will come in and, like, spell him for a little while. It's just, I mean, you look at his numbers, the guy's never had 200 carries in a season in his career.
Right.
He got to 198 last year. That's the closest he's been. He's never had 900 yards in a season in his career. And it's just lackluster, you know? It's just lackluster.
I think without having seen what the coaching staff thinks of him and how they're going to utilize him, round 10 this early, I'll buy. Sure, I'll buy round 10. But again, we don't even know how the coaching staff views him. Maybe they don't like him. Maybe they hate him. Maybe they love him. Maybe they see him as an every down guy. I don't know. New coach, it's really difficult to say.
It's probably going to be a committee with Bilal Powell in there, and we don't know what Stephen Ridley
or Zach Stacy.
That just brings back bad memories because I drafted him in the fourth round of our dynasty league last year. Yeah. Thank God I got Trey Mason and my buddy.
So round 10, you like him there?
As my fifth running back? Okay.
This is some pretty lukewarm response.
I don't love him. I mean, last
Gelhar,
year.
Give me a strong
he
argument.
He was inconsistent
here.
At best.
At best, man.
He ran pretty strong, and he ran pretty hard. He had some decent vision. He was just, they were feeding Chris Johnson last year, too, because they had picked him up as that free agent and kind of felt obligated to. I think in round 10, especially if you're taking him as an RB4, like that, there's great upside there because what if then this becomes the season where he gets over 200 carries and he is like the leader of that committee? Last year, he was the 18th highest scoring fantasy running back.
It's true.
If you're getting a top 20 fantasy running back potentially,
I could see him there. I wouldn't argue. I think the price is right with him, but again, he's not a guy that I'm going to be drafting and expecting big things.
Right.
You're drafting him as a 4 or 5.
This is the most tepid price is right.
Yeah.
Very tepid.
We all bid $1.
Right.
One Chris Ivory.
Right. Okay. This is a good one. I like this one. Michael Floyd in round 13 or John Brown in round 14. Who was the price right on there?
Oh, John Brown. And Marcus said that I sounded like a reporter, or Alex did. I have a contact with the Cardinals.
There we go.
Sources within the Cardinal organization.
And I've been told that they love him. They love John Brown.
Look out,
they
Ian
love
Rappaport.
Him. In fact, I would, and I put this in my column today that you can check out on NFL.com, that it would not shock me if John Brown was the highest scoring fantasy wide receiver in Arizona this year. It wouldn't shock me one bit.
I could see that. I really could see it.
Larry Fitzgerald is on the way down. Michael Floyd did not look like the same player last year. John Brown is exciting. He's electric. He can burn you deep. Great vertical pass attack threat for Carson Palmer. He's someone that I've got targeted after round 10, but round 14,
I don't know that
he'll be around.
No, I don't think so either. Marcus Grant, Michael Floyd, John Brown.
I mean, I think at these values, Michael Floyd in the 13th, John Brown in the 14th, I like both of them.
Sure.
I am with Fabs. I like John Brown better. And there's been a trend lately, and I believe our friends at Around the NFL wrote about this, of smaller wide receivers in recent years starting to really have success. And, you know, obviously Brandon Cooks is a guy we all like, but I think John Brown's another one who fits into that situation where he can stretch the field. He can also run underneath routes. They can, you know, maybe pitch it to him out of the backfield. There are a lot of ways to get the football in his hands. And if I could land John Brown on the 14th, I'd be thrilled to death.
And think about Arians right now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Arians, Antonio Brown, right? Smaller wide receiver.
I don't remember if he was there for his breakout.
T.Y. Hilton.
But he had T.Y. Hilton in the Colts, receiver. And he's had John Brown here.
So why not John Brown?
Because he's 5'10", 180 pounds.
Have you ever stood next to DeSean Jackson?
No. Look.
Your Cal brother?
I agree. I mean, I agree. DeSean Jackson.
I think I weigh more than him.
Actually, DeSean Jackson, exact same characteristics, 5'10", 180. But this is the difference. We've seen DeSean do it. We haven't seen John Brown do it. And
well,
I think that's
why he's not coming off the board until late.
I 100% agree. Yeah. 100%. But if you're asking me why I would take Michael Floyd over John Brown, I love the fact that John Brown gives you that vertical threat. And Carson Palmer back there, I mean, we know he loves slinging it deep. I get it. And you can be more creative with John Brown. I get that as well. It's just, for me, it's hard. It's hard for me to take a guy who right now looks like a fairly one-dimensional player in terms of just being a very good vertical threat versus a guy who's, I think, a little bit more well-rounded, especially if they start getting closer to the goal line. I love Michael Floyd's upside. Michael Floyd might be a guy. Am I taking a high heels bet with this guy?
Uh-oh. God.
Please do it.
Uh-oh.
Michael
Please
Floyd?
1,200?
Uh-oh. Are we
1200?
Doing this?
Uh-oh.
You do it. You're going to lose that one. You're going to lose that one big.
I might have
Go ahead
to,
and do it.
You know what?
Do
I'm going to have to think about this.
Go ahead and jump off a cliff in a little while.
Come on. I might have to think about I got to think about this one here.
We're going
to
keep prodding him every week. Every week we're going to prod him. We're going to just push him.
Michael Floyd.
When you said, you know why I love Michael Floyd, I was going to throw it because you love a wide receiver that drops passes.
Nice.
Because from Pro Football Focus, the wide receiver drop rate.
Michael Floyd, not
Michael
too good.
Michael Floyd is way up there. He drops about 10% of
his
passes.
Go ahead,
passes.
Do it.
That's
do
not
it.
Good.
Do it.
That is not good.
Do it.
Look, I like Michael Floyd a lot. I like him a lot.
How about a sundress this time? Forget about the high heels. Sundress.
But, you know, because the
you see how he's avoiding that?
No.
He's avoiding it.
No, listen. I'm not avoiding it. The only reason I'm hesitating with this one is because I really, really, really like Jalen Strong, and I really want to put my money behind my
the Texans again.
Exactly, yeah, behind the and Jalen Strong in particular, because I really
what
like
would
him
be
in that
what would be the
so I got to think about
number.
This.
Hold on. Let's get social. Why don't we ask the audience? We'll
okay,
another game show millionaire, and
right,
we'll have our fans weigh in on Twitter. Tweet at NFL Fantasy if James Coe should do the March to 1100 again.
March to 1100 with Michael Floyd or Jalen.
Wait. Wasn't it 1200?
But Jalen Strong. Well, no.
Started at 11.
We had to go to.
It was 11. Okay, then it went to 12. Okay.
We had to go to 12 because basically DeAndre Hopkins smashed 11.
Blew past 11.
So it's all good. Okay.
So tweet at NFL Fantasy.
Or James Deco.
And we should also.
March to 1100.
Yeah. March to 1100.
We should also let the fans pick the punishment.
Ooh.
No, well, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Listen, outside of something unbelievable,
no.
or we give them two options and let them vote.
No,
James Coe has to tattoo Michael Floyd's name on his keister, or he has to wear a sundress to one episode of NFL Fantasy Live.
Negative.
No,
These are negatives.
I don't think so.
These are negatives. at NFL Fantasy, at James.
That's why I just meant, hey, I was wrong.
Hashtag,
I'm not wearing anything crazy.
Hashtag March to 1100. Michael Floyd, Jalen Strong. I got to do a little digging here, man. But you know what? I want the fans to let me know what they think. All right. Listen, can we
steamroll through these here?
Yeah, all right. Let's do offenses that could surprise, because here's the deal. Look, it's a lot like Emmanuel Sanders last year with Denver. A lot of folks were high on him because that is an offense that we know is going to produce a lot of fantasy points. Davante Adams in Green Bay. We know that that's an offense that's going to produce a lot of fantasy points. But here are some four teams, sneaky teams. And we got the crack staff here. Marcus Grant, Alex Gellhardt, they did the digging. They did the research. And these are four teams that could surprise from a fantasy standpoint. And we'll start with the Dolphins. Alex, what do you see there?
Well, I don't want to jump, but actually, can we backtrack to the Cardinals real quick?
Sure.
I was doing some number crunching earlier since we just talked about Floyd and Brown. If you're looking at the Cardinals offense last year, as we know, they only had Palmer for six games. Over the course of the season, they were 24th in points, 24th in yards, 14th in passing yards, 31st in rushing yards. Ugly. However,
that's because they didn't have anybody.
When Palmer was in there,
right,
they were 8th in points scored. They jumped up to 19th in yards and 6th in passing yards per game.
Interesting.
So that's
and,
why.
Right, and I mentioned this in the column too. When he played, he was averaging 17 fantasy points a game. That's damn good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
So he's someone that I'm targeting late too.
Yeah,
no one's
absolutely.
Drafting him before round 12 probably.
Yeah, but that's
and his points per completion last year were very good. They were in the top five. Even Drew Stanton had a pretty good fantasy points to completion rate. So it's all about that offense, man. And you get John Brown going in there, running deep routes.
David
I like
Johnson.
Woo! Love the addition
Andre
of
Ellington.
David
exactly.
Johnson.
Love the addition
exactly.
of David
yep.
Johnson.
I think David Johnson's the key in this whole thing because you talked about that running game really not doing anything. A lot of it is because when Andre Ellington went down, I mean, that was it. It was a wrap. So if you get David Johnson in there and you can kind of split some of those carries, keep both those guys healthy. I think
bro, you didn't like Kerwin Williams?
Ask Kerwin Williams.
Stephon Taylor.
Stephon Taylor.
Marion Grice.
no love.
I love both those guys in college.
Right.
Not so much in the NFL.
Yeah, the Cardinals is it certainly an offense. I think that could surprise. How about the Dolphins, though? You look at Ryan Tannehill, again, a sneaky top 10 quarterback from last year. They add a very good wide receiver in Devontae Parker. We don't know, you know, what his development status is, but, you know, the tape on him says that, yeah, sure, Parker could be a very good wide receiver. What do we like about the Dolphins' offense?
I mean, one, I like Jarvis Landry a lot. I also really think this is the year we see Ryan Tannehill take a big step forward in that offense.
Okay.
We've seen him get better and better every year. I mean, obviously, he's not a guy who's going to throw it deep. He's not going to, you know, just chuck the ball downfield a whole lot. But he can be very accurate, and I think the thing that gets underrated about him is how effective he is at running the football.
Yes.
You know, so his ability to run the football obviously changes what you have to do defensively. It's certainly from a fantasy perspective. Gives him a new dimension. So I think between the combination of Tannehill, Jarvis Landry opening things up, and Jordan Cameron, if he can stay healthy and stay on the field, I think he steps in and is a nice replacement for Charles Clay in that offense.
And Lamar Miller was fairly effective last year as well.
He was good. He didn't have a whole ton of touches, but when he did touch the ball, he was pretty good. I do worry a little bit about – now, help me pronounce this,
Jay Ajayi.
Right. But
Tannehill like him.
Is a guy who could be a draft bargain.
Yeah.
The problem that you run into a lot of times is that, you know, you say, oh, Tannehill was a top 10 quarterback last year, which he was, or Eli finished in the top 12. At that point, the issue that you have is consistency.
Sure.
Because Eli had a stretch there where he was awesome, and then he went in the tank, and then he was awesome. The same thing happened to Tannehill. He had a stretch last year. I remember he was really good. He was scoring 20 fantasy points a game. But then sometimes there are certain weeks where the guy goes in the tank, and so you don't feel like you can always trust them. That's why you play the matchups when you utilize that philosophy. But the talent's there. Lamar's in a contract year. He's like 23 years old. Mm-hmm. We talked about Ajayi. We've got Jarvis Landry, who had over 80 catches last year.
Kenny Stills.
Stills is the guy who can stretch defenses. Greg Jennings. Not what he used to be, but he's a good presence in the locker room, and he could still probably catch 50 balls in that offense. Jordan Cameron, again, Marcus mentioned, if he can stay healthy. So there's a lot to like about this Dolphins offense.
By the way, it's almost as though the Dolphins are listening to us record this thing, because as we're sitting here talking, a tweet pops up that says, Tannehill feeling great entering 2015.
Eh? Yeah, there you go.
Wow, way to go.
All right, look, basically in terms of points, yards, pass yards, rush, they were all very middle of the pack, double digits in every single category, but around 11, 12, 13, 14. Gelhard, give me a reason why these guys might, the Dolphins offense, team offense, may be able to jump into, let's say the top eight, top seven.
We've been hitting on it. It's Tannehill. Over the course, this is in his third year, he had posted his best completion percentage, yards per attempt, lowest TD to interception ratio, the interception percentage. The guy is improving in all the right metrics, and the hope is that if he takes that next step, even just pushes it a little farther in 2015, he's going to boost the value of everybody else around him.
Let's talk about the Vikings. You talk about development. Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy Two Gloves, as my fantasy brethren here like to call him. The Vikings in 2014, they look dreadful in a lot of offensive categories. But look, I get that they're getting Adrian Peterson back. But to me, other than Adrian Peterson, why should I be excited about the Vikings offense? To me, I look at a guy like Teddy Bridgewater. Okay, great. He's going to be a late-round flyer. But what else is there? I don't see much else. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, wait. Wow. There's nothing else there?
I mean, obviously there's this Peterson.
I said obviously Adrian Peterson.
Peterson's there.
No, there's more than that.
I like Bridgewater a lot.
Go ahead. I do too.
I think they have something with their receivers. I mean, Mike Wallace is the guy who stretches the field for them. I think Charles Johnson, I'm looking for him to take a step forward. I went through a lot of Cordarrelle Patterson tape last week.
Okay.
I don't really want to talk about it. I wrote a column for it on Patterson last week, whether or not he can bounce back from his awful second season.
Kyle Rudolph is back.
Kyle Rudolph is there. So there are some weapons there. I mean, I don't know that they're as sexy as the Dolphins or maybe the Cardinals, but I think there's a lot to like. I did like what I saw from Bridgewater last year a lot.
They were 20th in points scored. They were 27th in yards. 27th. In yards. They were 28th in pass yards.
They had no running game.
They've got to make a big
boost.
They had no one in the backfield that anyone was scared of defensively. And he just mentioned it. I mean, the quarterback position until they brought in Bridgewater. Bridgewater was a rookie.
He got
too.
Dinged up too. But sure. That game, Bridgewater came out, played great against Atlanta, tweaked his ankle. Next week, Christian Ponder comes in. They get absolutely murdered by the Packers on Thursday Night Football. That game was like 30-3 at halftime.
Awful. Right. Yep.
Because that offense was inept without a quarterback. But Bridgewater, like we've all been saying, we're big fans, can do a lot for them this year.
Stabilize the offense.
And remember too that Norv Turner now knows what he's going to be able to work with, okay? Last year, he came in. I mean, quarterback position was questionable at best.
Patterson fell apart.
Peterson, right. So now you bring all this together, sans Patterson breaking out because we all are down on him now.
I'm not excited about
that. He's a wild card now.
Sure.
He's Charlie, and it's always sunny.
Sure.
He's the wild card.
Right.
He might cut the brakes on the offensive band. He could come in and, like, win everything for him.
For all of his failures as a head coach, he's a hell of an offensive coordinator, and a lot of the offenses that he's run, there's been a lot of production for fantasy owners, and that's what we're talking about here.
No, I'm not buying this at all. Look, I love the Norv Turner talk because it's like, look, Norv Turner, does he produce some fantasy guys? Yes, he does produce some fantasy guys. Is he a good real-life offensive coach? I'm not sold.
I don't care about real life.
I am not sold. Gracious, stop it.
I'm not sold.
I don't care about real life right now. That's got nothing to do with me.
I don't see a ton of weapons on the out. Charles Johnson is an interesting, intriguing wide receiver, decent upside, good size, good speed. I get it. Not great hands, not great route running. Mike Wallace, look, he's a journeyman at this point.
Yeah, but Mike Wallace was a top 20 wide receiver last
year. Is he going to stretch the field? Yeah, he could stretch the field. Maybe, but maybe. Again, wide receivers going to brand new teams don't necessarily always do that well. I just don't see outside of Adrian Peterson and maybe Teddy Bridgewater as a late round quarterback, not even as an every week starter, Teddy Bridgewater. Outside of Adrian Peterson, I don't see a lot to like about the Vikings offense. Not saying they won't be better. They're going to be better. Look, they were 28th in pass yards last year, man. They got to be better than that.
Hard to be worse.
Maybe they jump into somewhere in the top 15, 18, but to me, that's not a lot to get excited about. All right, we move on. How about the Bengals? The Bengals now. Now, this is a team I'm getting excited about, man. They got some weapons. Jeremy Hill, Gio Bernard, A.J. Green, and the list goes on. I really like this team. Alex, tell me why you could see these guys. Again, we're talking about 15th in points scored, 15th in yards. Why is this a team that could jump maybe into the top 6 or 7, maybe top 5?
Well, I think the hope is that there are so many weapons around Andy Dalton that this is finally the year that he can't hold that offense back.
They will succeed despite the redhead.
Wait, how much money did they give him?
All of it. They gave him
a lot.
But the point is, they've got a game-changing running back.
Yeah.
They have two of them, basically, that have different skill sets. They've got a game-changing wide receiver. Tyler Eifert's going to come back from a devastating injury. He was looking really good.
Good point.
In preseason and the years
Marvin
before.
Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones is coming back from an injury. Mohamed Sue slides into the third spot. It's all there. Green will be healthy.
Green was not healthy. No. He missed three games last year.
What was it, plantar fascia?
I think he could end up being one of the better draft bargains falls into the third round. Third round draft bargain, I mean, you can argue either way. But I like him because people are not drafting him as a one, and he's got the talent to be a top 10 wide receiver.
Absolutely.
In 2012 and 2013, over 90 catches, over 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns each year. That's pretty good.
And I'll say this about A.J. Green, too. Yes, he disappointed last year. Yes, he disappointed. There's no doubt about it, he disappointed last year. But even in a disappointing year, the guy still had 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. What's going to happen when he gets healthy and there's no possible way that they're going to just double cover him? They can't. They can't double cover him, not with Jeremy Hill, not with Gio Bernard in the backfield. I just don't see it. He's going to see a lot of single coverage, man. And again, with those underneath the guys, in terms of Mohamed Sanu and my boy, Marvin.
All-Cal team.
There it is, the all-Cal team coming together.
I like it. It's coming together nicely. A.J. Green's going to feast, man. If he stays healthy, he's going to eat. The dude's going to eat. I really like A.J. Green. And you mentioned it. If he falls to the third round, you are getting a draft bargain. Because
and I think
I can see
is.
Him being a solid high second-round guy.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Go ahead.
Are we at some point in the middle of the season just magically expecting Andy Dalton's going to turn into like Ken Anderson or something? I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, you know, the Bengals offense to me, it's like one of those like those novelty barsicles where you've got like five people on each side and like everybody's pedaling except one dude. Who's just not, and everybody else has to pedal a little bit harder.
But AJ is the driver, and so everybody's working their tail off to pedal that barsicle around, and Andy Dalton might just run them right into the stop sign.
You have to remember, too, that AJ Green's been a great fantasy receiver the
in
whole
spite
time.
Of that.
Dalton's been under center.
You have been watching, I can tell, you've been watching some Travel Channel in the offseason.
A little bit.
A little Travel Channel in the offseason.
You ever watch that
barsicle.
Show? What is it? The United States of Bacon?
No. Nope. Sounds great.
No, sounds delicious.
Oh, my
bacon
gosh.
It makes everything better.
It sounds delicious. Really big dude who just, like, goes to different places in the United States and eats bacon.
Well, you know what? Why don't we all wrap this up and go get some bacon ourselves?
Oh, Marcus, like what's bacon?
Bacon is meat candy.
That's right.
All right, there
That's
you
it.
Go. So those
who
are
doesn't
the,
love bacon?
Those are the four teams that could
everybody
surprise,
bacon.
The four offenses that possibly could surprise. And again, we're talking about the Dolphins, Vikings, Bengals, and Cardinals. I just want to say I'm going in under the knife tomorrow.
Uh-oh, good luck to
you. Getting a little surgery done on the old shoulder.
The hair again?
This is what, your fifth hair transplant?
Hopefully the hair butcher will not be my surgeon tomorrow.
That would be
terrifying.
Bad.
But no, I'm getting shoulder surgery done.
Well, best of luck to you.
Yeah, I'm going to be coming in next week, trooping on, but I'll be in a sling.
Well, won't even come in next week. It's 4th of July. We will not have a podcast on Monday, maybe Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Too excited.
Guess what? I'll still be in a sling.
And we've got to.
If we do it on Wednesday, I'll still be in a sling.
How's that going to affect your slider? Is that going to be.
The slider's going to be no good. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to throw a football ever again, but that's okay. You know, this is what happened. I tore the labrum because I thought I was young and I could throw the football. And I didn't properly warm up. That's what happened.
Play golf.
Yeah.
All right. Bowling.
Hey, I appreciate Safe everybody sport. Listening. You've been listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I'm James Coe. For Marcus, Fabs, and Alex, we're out of here.